Today we have the privilege of studying the 12th chapter of Yeshayah, Perek Yud Bet. As I indicated last time, Perek Yud Bet is actually a continuation of Perek Yud Aleph. We saw last time that chapter 11, Perek Yud Aleph, is a description of the period of Mashiach, which ends with the climax of the whole world acknowledging God's sovereignty, just as Paro, at the time of Yetziat Mitzrayim, acknowledged God's sovereignty and did what God wanted, so too the whole world will achieve De'ayat Hashem, knowledge of God. And then the chapter goes into a discussion of the events that follow from this. What follows from this is, because the whole world accepts God as sovereign, the world ceases to wish to hold the Jews captive, and the world sends the Jews back to Eretz Israel and allows the Jews to go back to Eretz Israel. God gathers the Jews from all the countries and brings them to Eretz Israel, and as they leave the various countries where they're held captive and enter Eretz Israel, there's a reenactment of the crossing of the Red Sea and a reenactment of the Song of the Sea, a reenactment of Shirat Hayam. These events take place in Sefer Yeshayahu from the middle of chapter 11 through the end of chapter 12, and that will be the focus of our discussion today. Since chapter 12 is very short, I will add to it the end of chapter 11. I begin with Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud, the Pasuk with which I finished last time. This Pasuk describes the Mashiach as becoming the focal point of the world. V'haya b'yomahu shoresh ishay asher omed l'nes amim, elav goyim yidroshu v'yetamenu chatoch kavod. The branch which comes forth from the root of Jesse will become a banner for all nations to look towards, a focal point for all nations, a nes amim. As a result of that, all the world looks towards him and seeks to participate in the repatriation of the Jews to Eretz Israel. We see this in the next two psukim. V'haya b'yomahu yosif Hashem shenit yado liknot et she'ar amo, asher yisha'er me'ashur u'mimitzrayim u'mipatros u'mikush u'mi'alam u'mishin'ar u'michamat u'miyei hayam. On that day, God will once again stretch forth his hand to acquire the remnant of his people who remain from all places of captivity. And there's a list here of places of captivity, Ashur, Mitzrayim, and so on and so forth. But what is particularly interesting here is the very clear formulation that this is a reenactment of Yetziat Mitzrayim. God will once again stretch forth his hand, we are told. And the phrasing, liknot et she'ar amo, is very reminiscent of the phrasing in Shirat Hayam, Amzu Kanita, the nation which you have acquired. The idea that God will once again acquire his nation seems to be a very clear reference to the Exodus. We see this in the continuation in even starker and more obvious detail. Pasuk 12 describes how God will stretch out a banner for nations. In other words, Pasuk 12 resumes the theme of Pasuk 10, where we were told about the Mashiach becoming a banner for nations. Here it is God himself who lifts up a banner for nations. V'nasan nes lagoyim. This resumes the theme of nes amim. God will lift up a banner for the nations, and as by lifting up this banner, he will gather the scattered of Israel, ve'asaf nitchei Yisrael unefutzot Yehuda yekabetz me'arba kanfot ha'aretz. This is, of course, the phrasing that we are familiar with from the Musaf for Shalosh Regalim, where we daven unefutzotenu kanes miyarkatei aretz. That tefillah is based on this pasuk. God will stretch out a banner for nations and gather the scattered of Israel. And the dispersed of Yehuda, he will gather from the four corners of the world. Now this ingathering of Yisrael and Yehuda, the ingathering of the Jews, is not without its challenges. Because as we know, when the Jews lived in their land in the time of Tanakh, and as when the Jews live in their land today, there is a great deal of internecine strife among the Jewish people. And before the process of redemption can reach fruition, that issue of internecine strife, with fighting of Jews against Jews, must be addressed. And that is the topic that Pasuk 13 addresses. V'sara kin'at Ephraim v'tzorerei Yehuda yikaretu. Ephraim lo yikaneh et Yehuda v'Yehuda lo yatzor et Ephraim. The jealousy of Ephraim will be eliminated, the enemies of Yehuda will be destroyed. Ephraim will no longer be jealous of Yehuda, Yehuda will no longer have enmity towards Ephraim. the idea of Yehuda and Ephraim, historically the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah, which split way back after the time of Shlomo. That split will be healed. There will no longer be an Ephraim and a Yehuda. They will no longer have enmity and jealousy of each other. Rather, they will operate together. And we see the results of that joint operation of Ephraim and Yehuda in Pasuk 14, where we are told that they cooperate in fighting against all of their enemies, and they act as hegemons of Eretz Israel. Together, Ephraim and Yehuda defeat, in Pasuk 14, the Plishtim, Bnei Kedem, Adom, Moav, and Bnei Amon. In other words, all the surrounding nations are defeated by this joint force, which is comprised of the two main tribes of Am Yisrael, in other words, by the two leading tribes, which historically formed two kingdoms, now forming one united kingdom, Ephraim and Yehuda working together in Pasuk 14, Ve'afu b'chatef Plishtim Yama, they will fight against the hills of the Plishtim on the west, Yachdav Yavozu with Bnei Kedem, together they despoil the easterners, Edom u'Moav Mishloach Yadam, they send their hand out against Edom and Moav, Uvnei Amon Mishma'atam, and the people of Ammon act at their command. And so this ingathering the exiles is coupled with a reduction or elimination of the internecine strife among the Jewish people, with a reduction or elimination of civil war and enmity among the Jewish people. And they operate together instead of fighting amongst themselves. We then reach the climax of this process of redemption, which, like the process of redemption climaxed in Yetziat Mitzrayim with the splitting of the sea, here too the process of redemption climaxes with the reenactment of the splitting of the sea. This, of course, explains why we read this section of Prophet Yeshayahu on the eighth day of Pesach, when we speak about the splitting of the sea in the Torah reading. It is the seventh day of Pesach, we have the Torah reading about the splitting of the sea. Splitting of the sea historically happened on the seventh day of Pesach, and so the eighth day of Pesach is continuation of the seventh day of Pesach, and therefore on the eighth day of Pesach we read this Haftarah, which talks about the reenactment of the crossing of the Red Sea. And as we see here, this reenactment is described in very great detail. Ve'echerim Hashem et Lishon Yam Mitzrayim, ve'hinif ha'yado al ha'nahar ba'yam rucho. God will destroy the tongue of the Sea of Egypt. This is a reference to the Gulf of Suez, which is the tongue of the sea. And God will destroy that tongue of the sea. And that is, of course, the place where the Jews crossed at the time of leaving Egypt. God will destroy the tongue of the sea. God will dry up that section of the Red Sea, the Gulf of Suez, and the Jews who are captives in Egypt, or who have gone into Egypt out of fear of Assyrian attacks, will now return to Eretz Yisrael. Ve'nif yado al nahar ba'yam rucho, God will stretch out his hand upon the river, and this is a reference to God splitting the Euphrates, the great river that is on the southwestern side of Mesopotamia. If you look at the map, you'll see that the Euphrates in its northern branches is actually on the southwestern side of Assyria, and it divides Assyria from Eretz Yisrael, and that branch of the Euphrates will be dried up by God stretching out his hands, and God will split it into seven channels, and it will be and one will be able to walk through it with shoes. V'hikau l'shiva nechalim v'hidrich b'ne'alim. What will that achieve? The splitting of the Red Sea on the one hand, of the Euphrates on the other. V'hayetal mesila l'shar amo asher yisha'er me'ashur. It shall be a raised up path for the remnant of his people who remain from Assyria. In other words, this splitting of the Euphrates specifically will allow the Jews to walk back to Eretz Israel upon a raised up highway which is easy to walk across, a sort of interstate leading from Assyria to Israel, crossing the Euphrates and going right through the desert. Vayetam mesila lishar amor, shall be a raised up path for the remnant of his people, asher yisha'er me'ashur, who remain from Ashur. Ka'asher haitai Yisrael b'yom alotome eretz Mitzrayim, Just as when Israel left Egypt, it had a raised up path, so too when it leaves Assyria, it will have a raised up path. And what did the Jews do when they left Egypt? Well, when the Jews left Egypt and were able to cross the Red Sea, they immediately burst into song. Shirat Hayam is in many ways the pinnacle of the Exodus from Egypt. It is the pinnacle of the Exodus from Egypt because it describes the gratitude of the Jewish people to God. It describes how God is the ruler of the world. All the peoples of the world are terrified before God. And it ends with the idea of the Mikdash, the establishment of the temple, and then the eternal kingship of God. That is the theme of the song at the Red Sea, which we find in Exodus chapter 15. And here too we find a song when the Jews cross the Euphrates. This new song, this new reenactment of the Red Sea, leads to a new enactment of the Song of the Sea. But this Song of the Sea is different, as we see from the very first pasuk of chapter 12. Ve'amarta bayom ahu, odecha Hashem ki anafta bi. You shall say on that day, I thank you, God, for being angry at me. This is a very strange phrasing. Why do the Jews say, thank you, God, for being angry at me? Well, it is important to understand the context in which the song is being said. Like the Red Sea song, it is being sung at a time when the Jews have been redeemed by God. But unlike the Red Sea song, it is also sung at a time when the Jews have been sent into exile by God. They have been punished by God previous to their being redeemed. And so, this is not just a reaction to a redemptive act of God, but a reaction to a redemptive act which was preceded by an act of punishment. And so the psukim say, I thank you, God, for having been angry at me. In other words, the Jews recognize that the anger of God had a positive and constructive purpose because it led to their punishment in the terrible exile, but it will also lead to their redemption. And so the idea of this song is that on the one hand it recapitulates the themes of the Red Sea song, recapitulates the themes of Shirat Hayam, but places them adds to them in a way that's appropriate for Jews who are being redeemed from exile to sing. Thank you, God, even though we've suffered trouble in exile, we are still grateful to you for all the good things that you have done to us, and we are still grateful to you for having redeemed us. And the end of Pasuk Aleph contains this prayer, Yashov apecha utnachameni, may your anger return and comfort me. The second pasuk of chapter 12 contains a verse with which we are familiar from the Havdalah service at the conclusion of Shabbat, at least the Ashkenazi version of the Havdalah service. Hine kel yeshuati evtach velo efchad, ki uzi vezimratya Hashem vayhi li lishua. If you are a careful listener, you will note that the end of that pasuk is not only familiar to us from the Havdalah service, it is also familiar to us from Shirat Hayam, from the crossing of the Red Sea, where we read, Ozi v'zimratya v'hili lishua. That end of that verse means, and it is the meaning is debated, but I will propose one possible meaning, my strength and my song is God, that is, God is my strength and the one to whom I sing, v'hili lishua, and he became my salvation. But here we note that there is something added to this verse, which we find in the Song of the Sea. Yeshayahu adds several words to this verse. He begins, Hine kel yeshuati eftach velo efchad. Behold, I trust in the God of my salvation, and I am not fearful. Why is it important to add this idea of trust in God and lack of fear? The reasons are fairly simple. Remember again that the song is being sung when the Jews are redeemed from a captivity which is the result of punishment. They have suffered during this captivity, and it would be reasonable for them to say, I don't want God to be involved in our lives anymore. We want God to stay out of our lives and leave us alone. After all, he's punished us so very terribly. Somewhat similar to the reaction my daughter had when she heard the story of Adam and Chava being sent out of Gan Eden. If God can be angry, my daughter is three, if God can be angry at people so very much, let God stay out of my life. That's a reasonable reaction for a person to have. And yet the Jews here are saying no. Even though I recognize that God can be so very angry at me, nevertheless, I have faith in him, eftach velo efchad. I trust in him and I am not fearful. And so this is the theme of the Red Sea with an added idea of trust in God. And this is expressed even more starkly in Pasuk Gimel with the famous song, Usha'avtem mayim b'sason mima'inei ha'yeshua. You shall draw water happily from the wells of salvation. We saw earlier in Yeshayahu, Perek Zayin and Perek Chet, that Yeshayahu tried to convince the people of Yerushalayim and the king of Yehuda to trust in the defensibility of Yerushalayim and to rely on God and not to try and make alliances with other kings, which would lead ultimately to the submission of Yehuda to Assyrian power and to a possible Assyrian invasion. Here the Jews are drawing water happily from the wells of salvation. What are these wells? It appears to me that this is a geographic reference. Ma'ane HaYeshua are those very wells that the prophet spoke about in Perek Zayin and in Perek Chet. The Gihon spring and the water system connected to it. The Jews will draw water from those wells here now and recognize in those wells a source of salvation, because those wells are a symbol of reliance on God rather than reliance on foreign powers. What about the other theme in the Song of the Sea, the theme of God as ruler of the world? That idea is articulated in the last three psukim of chapter 12. Va'amartem bayomahu, you shall say on that day, Hodu Lashem kiru vishmo, hodiu va'amim alilotav, hazkiru kinisgav hu. You shall say on that day, Hodu Lashem kiru vishmo, give thanks to God, call upon his name, speak among the nations of his deeds, mention that he is elevated. In other words, the Jews should tell the nations how powerful God is, how he is the sovereign of the world. Zamru Hashem ki ge'ut hasa. Sing to God because he has exercised a chieftainship. I think that is the meaning of ki ge'ut hasa, to exercise chieftainship. Ge'ut, to be most supreme, to be high. We often translate it to do glory, but I think to do chieftainship or to do highness, to act with sovereignty, is a more accurate translation. And that is, of course, evocative of the idea we find in Shirat Hayam, ki ga'o ga'a. God has I sing to God because he has acted gloriously, or there too, because he has exercised chieftainship, because he has been the Most High. Here too, Zamru Hashem ki ge'ut hasa, sing to God because he has exercised chieftainship. He is the sovereign one of the world. Who knows this? Muda'at zot b'chol ha'aretz. The whole world knows this. And yet upon whom is it incumbent to sing to God? Does the whole world have an obligation to sing to God, or only to recognize his sovereignty? Just as in Yetziat Mitzrayim, Paro had to recognize God's sovereignty, but was under no obligation to sing to him. Here too, the world recognizes God's sovereignty, but it is specifically the Jews who must sing to God, as we find in Pasuk 6, the very last Pasuk of chapter 12. Tzahali varoni yoshevet Zion, sing and rejoice, O dweller in Zion, ki gadol bekirbech kedosh Yisrael, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. And it is worth devoting a moment or two to this phrase, the Holy One of Israel. It is a name for God, which we find more than any other biblical book in Sefer Yeshayahu. But it's mentioned in other Sfarim, Kedosh Yisrael, but it's mentioned 24 times in Sefer Yeshayahu, far more than in any other biblical book. And it refers specifically to the aspect of God as saving Israel in a way that the nations see. Sort of public salvation of Israel is connected to the name Kedosh Yisrael. And here too we see the idea, the Holy One of Israel, Kedosh Yisrael, is great amongst you. All the nations know that he has saved you. Let me recap some of the ideas we see in this section, moving from Yeshayahu Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph, from Isaiah chapter 11, verse 11, to the end of chapter 12. We began with the idea of Kibbutz Galuyot, the ingathering of exiles. We moved to the idea of the Jews not fighting with each other, and then we moved to the idea of this reenactment of the crossing of the Red Sea, leading to a reenactment of the Song of the Sea. And this reenactment of the Song of the Sea has two main themes. One, I trust in God even though he's punished us with exile. Nevertheless, because he is now redeeming us, we are grateful to him. And second of all, the whole world acknowledges God as sovereign. Because the whole world acknowledges God as sovereign, it is incumbent upon the Jews to sing to God and to give thanks to him for his great salvation. Here we conclude not only chapter 12, but also a unit in Sefer Yeshayahu. Prakim 7 through or 6 through 12 form a unit in which Yeshayahu has focused on the idea of God's sovereignty and contrasted to the idea of Assyrian sovereignty. Assyrians did in fact in this time act as the world's ruler. They ruled many, many nations and were the superpower of the world and had an ideology of empire which demanded that the world accept them as sovereign. Yeshayahu recognizes that reality but prophesies a time when God will be the sovereign of the world. In the meantime, what do the Jews have to do? As we read earlier, V'kiveti l'Hashem v'chikiti lo. I will trust in God and I will wait for him. And here this idea of trust in God, recognition that he is the sovereign, even though other nations are more powerful temporarily, is fulfilled in this new song of the sea, when God exercises sovereignty, when God's sovereignty is seen by all, and the Jews react to this with song. Zamru Hashem ki ge'ut asa muda'at zot b'chol ha'aretz. Sing to God because he has exercised chieftainship. The whole world knows this. Tzali varoni yoshevet Zion, ki gadol bekirbech kadosh Yisrael. Sing and rejoice, O dweller in Zion, for great amongst you is the Holy One of Israel.